Okay, good morning. We're doing Hilchos Shechita. We just completed Siman Gimel. Before we start Siman Daleh today, though, I do want to go back just a bit to clarify something and a couple just fundamental topics. Okay, so just to clarify if confusing, a Mumar La'arel, a person who doesn't do a bris milah on himself. He's afraid, he doesn't want to. Okay. So then, can he get Kabbalah? Can he be a Shochet? So from what we know, there's no reason whatsoever. He can certainly be a Shochet. However, it depends. If he had at least two older brothers, or if it's for his child, also two older sons, that were not able to, that died. And so since they died, he's not supposed to do a bris milah. So that's the difference. If he chooses not to, or it's because two older siblings died, so the difference is if you have to check the sakin, if you have to check the knife for him, can you trust him? We pass like the Rambam, who says he cannot check himself. If it's Mumar La'arel, then you need to someone else has to check for him. So that's the Nafkamina. And again, just a quick thing for Chazaka, we're always familiar. Chazaka is how many times? Three. But for Pikuach Nefesh, it's two. Okay. And somebody asked me, what happens if you have a Shochet? And he gets caught with watching something inappropriately on some device, a smartphone or computer. So can you eat his shechita? So as far as we know, 100% kosher. No problem. Even to check the knife, right? We're assuming it's just a mumar l'tayavon. And it's a question for the Rav HaMakshir to take away or not take away his Kabbalah or his position. But certainly once it's done, there's no problem with the meat itself. And now this was brought up yesterday. How many times do you need to be established that you got caught doing something to turn you into a mumar? Mumar lahachis or mumar le teyavon. So the shach in Siv Katan Yotet says clearly, for a mumar l'teyavon, you have to be a muad, and you have to be caught at least three times. One time is enough that could make you pasal l'edus, but to make you a mumar l'teyavon, you have to be muad three times. That's brought down in the Kaf HaChaim and others. However, he quotes the Maharshal. Again, I'm not sure if everyone agrees or not, but he does quote the Maharshal, for a mumar l'hachis, all you need is one. So, I don't know, tzarechiyun. And Shach also points out that a mumar l'hachis, once he's established as a mumar l'hachis, whatever he shechs is pasul on a deraisa level, and it's in nevela midaraisa. And he says that's pretty clear from a slew of Rishonim, Rosh, Rambam, and others. It's a Nevela Deraisa. He doesn't say that by a Mumar L'Tiyavon, because the whole concept is very different. A Mumar L'Tiyavon is just, you're a Mumar for this issue. But a Mumar L'Hachis, it takes you away and it makes you not like a regular Jew, and it makes you like an Akum, it's a Din Deraisa, and therefore you're no longer in the category of a Bar Zvicha. Torah says, "Vezavachta ve'achalta."
But he can still make kiddushin.
Can he still? He can't make kiddushin. As far as I know, he cannot make kiddushin. We'll discuss. Okay. If you're Mahar Avetshuva, okay. So we'll. Okay, that's true. I'm saying because we're not sure. Okay. Okay. Next interesting thing. Just to clarify, this was maybe unclear, probably was. Okay, In order to become a mumar, can you become mumar on a mitzvah d'araisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan in an aseh versus lo taseh? So the halacha seems to be, it's in the Kaf HaChaim, and he quotes numerous achronim. He doesn't quote anyone who argues, and he says it's you can only become a mumar for these halachas that we're talking about if a person violates an iser d'araisa. Has to be an iser d'araisa. And most say even by an iser aseh, like if he doesn't want to take a lulav or tefillin, derech lahachis. So that might, again, it depends on the situation, obviously, and sometimes people will take it one day and not take another day. So you have to be careful to categorize them as lahachis. But anyway, so many say it applies to both a lav and an aseh. It seems that Rashi probably says it's only by a lav, not an aseh. Okay? And when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's a little bit different again, because we're not making you a mumar necessarily. There's a special din, and it might be only derabbanan, and it's mechalel Shabbos beferhesya. So there, he quotes the Kaf HaChaim, many say it's only by an iser deraisa, but there is an opinion, perhaps the Bir Halacha, says even by Yisuri derabbanan, because he could still be categorized as mechalel Shabbos beferhesya. And it's a pegamen in this whole keeping of Shabbos. And there is an opinion, maybe a Das Yachid, he quotes in the Kaf HaChaim, that it's you're only a mumar, even for Shabbos, if it's you violate an Isser D'Araisa, that you get a Chiyuv of Misa Beis Din. But that's even just, not just a regular lav wouldn't be enough. And that's why they always have the example of Avodah Zarah. Of Nisa Chayayin, but that's Das Yachid, I think. Okay, one more interesting thing. We spoke about in Siman Gimel that you don't need intention for Shechita, right? But we did say that you do need to have Koach Gavra. There has to be you a physical force using your hands and... So again, the Kaf HaChaim, Simcha Chadasha, Zivchei Tzedek, Pirmei Gadim, they all say that if you're holding a knife and you just open up your hands, you open up your fingers and it drops, they say that's not called Koach Gavra. So that might be, there may be a machlokas out there, I'll just leave that as a disclaimer, but we're going to talk about soon about Hasarat HaMoneya. But that's a little bit different because you're moving your hand to allow the water to come. Here you're just opening up your hands and all the work is really being done through gravity. So, okay, there may or may not be a machlokas on the matter, but I did not find anything besides...
You should be clear about it, right?
Who? The machaber is not so clear. Machaber is definitely not clear. Depends how you read the machaber. Right. So it depends how you define or explain nafla and yipil. It's not clear, but you're right. It's you can read it either way. Well, we know you don't need kavana, but you do need to have some. You do need to have some koach gavra. The question, and you're using a physical force to open up your hand, but is that called the physical force of pushing the knife? So they say it's. So that's Hasarat HaMoneya. So again, we're going to get to that real soon, so I don't want to digress too much. We're going to get to it. But that's you're physically moving your hand to allow the water to come. Here, but you're using your force to allow the water to come. So that's Koach Gavra. Here, you're just opening up your fingers. And so the force of the knife is purely gravity once you move your hands.
So if you have a knife
and you move something, and
the knife falls down.
That we'll see. That is Koach Gavra. That's why we're going to see that. Okay, that's coming up. Okay, one important topic that we went over real quick. Again, very fundamental, and usually go a little quicker. But this is on the whole issue of we're all familiar with the phrase of Tinuk Shenishba, Levein Agoyim. Okay. So we learned, this is a major siman we just learned about a mumar, and it has tremendous ramifications. For example, shchita, edus, you count them for a minyan, stam yinam, yay nesach, kiddushin, as we mentioned, bishul akum, malin velo or moridin, do you want to keep them alive or not, for tzvilas kelim, it matters for ashava seveda, for eruvin, halvaya, for halva, for with ribbis. So all these halachas, it's really, so I just want to say over a few main points, because it really applies to everything. So we learned that a person who is a mumar, right, we see that they're doing mumar lahachis, they're completely not from, and machal Shabbos befrahesia. So we basically understand at this point that very possibly on a din d'oraisa, especially by a mumar lahachis, maybe only on a derabanan by Shabbos, that's quite well. Okay, but certainly the person has a din of a goy, right? For essentially all the halachos, bein lekula, bein lechumra, but it depends a little bit maybe for each halacha, but just in general. Okay, so Ned, we have nowadays this concept, we're all familiar with tinuk shenishba. Somebody grows up and he doesn't know any better, right? He grows up, his parents are not from, or the whole atmosphere in the world, or in a city, or in a synagogue, is not to be from. So what's the din? So it's just interesting. The way we talk about a tinuk shenishba doesn't exist in Chazal. As far as I know, the only place it's mentioned in the Gemara is it's mentioned in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Daf Samech Chet. There, the discussion is an actual physical tinuk shenishba, a baby is kidnapped and he's brought up among the non-Jews. The Gemara is not talking about someone who has, you know, non-from parents, the community is not from, that's not the discussion. I'm not saying it's the same or not, but just to know the context of how it starts. And so that's the only sugya there, and the sugya there is discussing, is he chayev a korban chatas for doing an Isser Deraisa on Shabbos? The question is, do we consider him as a shogeg, or do we consider him as an onus completely? A shogeg, in other words, we treat him like as if he once found out and then forgot, or do we treat him like he never knew about it at all? So there is Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel says he is chayev, we consider him a shogeg, he's chayev one chatas, even though he didn't know any better. And that's what the Rambam Paskin is like. And Yochas Shkagos. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish says he's Pater Lagamre because he's like an anus. Okay, so that's Tinuk Shenishba, that's in the Gemara. Then, the first one that I know. The first case that I don't know if it talks about it. The first case that I know that's among the Rishonim that I was able to find was the Rambam, famous Rambam, and there he discusses in Mamrim, Gimel, where he talks about Kofrim, in particular Torah Shebal Peh, Apikorsim, Mumrim, and Vechule, that they're not Bechlal Yisrael, and they're Dinam Ke'akum, it may even apply of not Malin, and Vechule. So there he discusses it, and he says that this only applies by somebody who was kafar b'Torah. He knew about the Torah, and even then he went against it. That's the time that the Torah says you get this halacha that he's like a non-Jew. However, he says, but tinak shenishba leben agoyim harei kanus, anybody who grew up among the families, the community, they're all heretics, they're all kofrim. So he says they have a din of tinuk shenishba. So the way we talk about a tinuk shenishba, the famous lakula, that's the Rambam, as far as I know, is the first, and he says that that's what applies to the Karayim. The Karayim only have a din of tinuk shenishba. Okay. And the Beis Yosef paskins like the Rambam, we're going to get there and later on in your idea, by ribbis, that they have a din as a Jew, someone who's the Karayim. and therefore you're not allowed to, they don't have a din of a goy, and you're not allowed to give them loans, beribis. He quotes in the Beis Yosef, the Nemuke Yosef, who argues, but he sides with the Rambam. Now, the Radubaz more or less agrees with the Rambam, but he says, Lamaisa, it totally depends on the situation, depends on the generation, depends on the person, depends if these people knew, didn't know how they treat the Chachamim. So it's qualifies it, which is probably the most. Anyways, let's keep reading. But the Radbaz is very, and the Rambam are very much followed. The Binyan Sion is the first posek in among the later Achronim, or among the Achronim, that's famous for discussing it in around the 1860s. It's Rav Yaakov Edlinger, right? Also the author of the Arach Laner. So he discusses the case. There's Mechale Shabbos Befarhesya, that's his case, and they're touching Stam Yenam. The question is it Asr or not? So he says it's good to be Machmer, right? Tavo Alav Bracha. But he says, Yesha Malismach, if you want to be Mekel, to treat them like a Tinak Shanishba. So that's so the Binyan Sion is the most famous among modern, among the Achronim. And following the Psak of the Binyan Sion, so of Chaim Ozer Gudzinski, also the Av Beis Din of the Vilna, he was Matir and Aguna based on this. So he allowed the Edim on the Get, even though they were Mechale Shabbos Befarhesya, and those were the ones that signed on the Get, he allowed they allowed them to use it in order to B'makom Igun, in order to avoid that. Okay. Now, back to, you're using them, you're allowing her to now remarry, Eishit-Ish. Lakula. We're treating them like a real Tinuk Shenishba. Then, for more modern day poskim, so the Chazon Ish is very famous for being Mekel as well. And he says the non-religious nowadays, he's in particular probably referring to Eretz Yisrael, they all have a din, at least in general, Tinuk Shenishba, right? Because they lack education, the whole environment is completely secular, all their surroundings, and he also points out there's no Gilui Shechina, there's no Baskol, there's no Hashras Hashchina. Okay, so it's Chazon Ish is known to treat them as Tinuk Shenishba. However, not 100% clear. The Chut HaShani explains that really the Chazon Ish felt that they were a suffix, and therefore you have to be. It's only lahachmer and not lahakel. So it depends on which among the slew of halachos. It depends. You have to. Now some also say the times changed a little bit between now and the Chazon Ish. Okay, so. But for sure, the Chazon Ish was very clear. No one can argue on this one. That his point was that you still have to love the Chilonim, and you have to still try to be Makari of them, and you still have to try and talk with them nicely. And there's still no din of Moridim, because there's no Gilui Shechina, there's no Ashkachas Hashem. And nowadays, there isn't anyone Sheyodea to give proper tochacha, and you should still give them an aliyah. It seems more or less, but again, obviously, everyone can take the Chazon Ish a little bit this way and that way. And but also, let me explain. This also reminds us of the Radbaz. He does write in Hilchos Eruvin as well. It's in Pei Zayin Dalet Yud Dalet that it's mashma even over there. It's very clear. It's mashma even lakula. But he does write, and maybe that's what the Chut HaShani wants to say, it really does depend on each individual, because everyone has their own upbringing, and everyone comes from a different place. But just, all right. Now, so that was the Chazon Ish. Now, many others follow also Lakula, based on the Binyan Sion, Chazon Ish, which really is coming from the Rambam and the Radbaz. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky or Steinman, of course we know the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Edelstein, Rav Avadah Yosef, Mordechai Eliyahu, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, they're all on the more lenient side to call them Tinuk Shenishba. Now, on the opposite opinion, again, everything depends a little bit with a grain of salt, and every Rav is a little different, and every situation is a little different, but in general, Rav Elyashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Shmuel Rosner, Yaskil Avdi, Rav Kapach, they are all said that no, nowadays they are exposed to Yiddishkeit, they can ask, they see from Yiddin, and therefore they do have a din of a mumar, and they don't, and they're not B'chal Yisrael, and they're not Tinuk Shenishba. But again, it obviously depends a little bit on each individual case. Okay. Rav Moshe and Evan Ezer, Aleph, Pei Beis Yud Aleph, he writes, it really depends a lot on the parents and their upbringing. But he's, in general, you would say if the parents were from, and then the kid decided to rebel, so then they would often be considered not Tinuk Shenishba, because their parents, the community. Okay, so it depends on the situation. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, so he says, if the normal person in a conservative shul, the average Joe Shmo, is Tinuk Shenishba, but not the rabbi. The rabbi knows a lot better. And right. I mean, some also point out, it really depends. In some of the kibbutzim, they don't know anything. And in some of the kibbutzim, no, they dafka teach them everything about Yiddishkeit to teach them how to be kofrin. That's what some write. So Rav Kapach wrote that. So it depends on the situation. And Rav Kook said, you know,
that might make it more
connection. Well, it depends. Okay, can go either way, exactly. So and Rav Kook says, it's that for sure there are nusim gemurim and chalila lanu ladun ones kiratzon, and the whole atmosphere in the world is. And some say even if somebody was from and then became less from or rebelled, could still be called Tinuk Shenishba, because I'm not sure, so I'm not going to quote them. But the point is the whole atmosphere. And the whole ruach and the whole lack of ashkacha. Well, sometimes we see ashkacha pratis, but at the same time we often don't. So it's all right. So that's in a nutshell, just to get a good feel for that topic. And I saw a video clip of Edelstein, but I think everyone says it. When it comes to your own, often it's to everybody, but certainly with your own children, you still have to love them, talk to them, dress them, clothe them. Give them gifts, even if they're not going to wear the most tznius clothing. You still, that's our obligation, and you have no choice. There's no other way. You're only going to distance them more. So, mikol etzadim, that's really the only way to deal with such a case. Okay, let me read one halacha, and then we'll stop. I didn't get too far. Siman Dalet. Let's at least start. Aleph. Hashochet l'shem elilim or l'shem davar acher ma dino. Okay, we'll finish next tomorrow. But here, Aleph. Hashochet l'shem avodas elilim. A person who is shechtin l'shem avodas elilim for avodah zara. Afilu lo chishev la'avda b'shchita zo. Even if he's not, the shchita itself is for avodah zara. We're going to explain. But the shchita itself could be the etzem avoda itself, or it could be just a heksher for the avoda. Either way, you're doing it for avodah zara. Okay. Elachishe bishat shchita lizrok dama olahakdir chelba. Or, so it's either mamish for the shchita, when the shchita is the avodah zara, or even if it's not, but it's for using the animal for avodah zara. You're going to use the blood to throw. I'm not sure if there's a minimum. Olahakdir chelba, or you're going to burn the chelev lavodas elilim for the avodah zara. Okay, so then hareze zivchei meitim. Either way, it has a din of zivchei meitim, and it's aser be'ana, and it's aser 100% be'ana.
It sounds like the Mechaber is trying to exclude
No, he's adding both. Both cases, it's Aser. It's 100% Aser. And even... No, that's the next case. Okay? And let me just... From the Shach, he just points out, it's... The Shach holds... Again, it depends. No, this is also... No, never mind. That's in the next Seif. Yeah, so I think we're done today, and we will continue back tomorrow.
Sure.